One of the affirmations of our faith that we make at Daleville Christian Church each time we gather is found in 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 9 and 10. We are God's own people, that we may declare the wonderful deeds of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once we were no people, but now we are God's people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. The reading of God's word for today is from Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50, where Jesus is talking to a crowd, and people come up to him, and he responds to them. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told Jesus, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to speak to you." Jesus replied to him, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, Jesus said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Here's my problem. It's Mother's Day. Hold on. Let me rephrase that before I get myself into trouble again. I'm a pastor, and it's Mother's Day. I'm a pastor for many years in the same congregation, and it's Mother's Day. What more do you want me to say about Mother's Day? If I serve many more years as pastor here, it would be a year's worth of sermons on Mother's Day. That would be a lot of preaching on just one topic. In addition, motherhood has changed a lot since Anna Jarvis wanted a national day to honor all mothers in 1908. Anna Jarvis thought so much of her own mother, she started the celebration of Mother's Day in 1908 in a church in West Virginia. I would suggest that even church has changed since 1908. West Virginia has changed since 1908, and motherhood has changed since 1908. The person mother in an intact family with children is now a statistical minority. Today, fully 4 in 10 births occur to women who are single or living with a non-marital partner. This has meaning for Father's Day as well, does it not? The American family is also more fluid today. 30% of children younger than 6 years had experienced a major change in their family structure through divorce, separation, marriage, cohabitation, or death. That would mean for every third child you and I see, even before the age of 6, they are probably with at least one different adult or no adult than they started life with. I personally know adoptive parents, adoptive mothers, adoptive couples, by which I mean that the child has 2 moms. And do I need to mention that what is true today that was not true in 1908 is that mom works outside the house and may also be the major breadwinner. And more grandmothers, or grandparents, I should say, at least in Indiana, are raising their grandchildren. Mom is not available. So exactly what am I to preach about on Mother's Day? And to whom am I to preach to on Mother's Day? The Bible has the answer to that question. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches in the region of Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 10, You do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more. And in 1 Peter we read that the apostle says, show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. We're going to sing that familiar hymn this morning, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Jesus says the same thing, doesn't he? Jesus replied, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, Jesus said, here are my brother and my mother. Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. To Jesus, with regard to family and family members, genetics don't mean much. To Jesus, home life does not mean much. What matters to be in Jesus' family is doing the will of the Heavenly Father. Then Jesus said, you are my family. You who do God's will, you are my family. So it isn't genetics, it isn't physiology, it isn't psychology, it isn't biology, it's the Bible, or more clearly, it is God's will. That is what makes us a family of God. And just so we understand, Jesus, being in the family of God isn't about a lot of things we often think being in the family of God is about. I know that sounds a little obtuse. I'll say it again. Being in the family of God is not about a lot of things that we in the church often think being in the family of God is about. There are a lot of things the family of God is not. First of all, it isn't argument-free, or disagreement-free, or hurt-free. Although some people think it should be in the church, argument-free, disagreement-free, or hurt-free, but it's not, nor is that a qualification for the family of God. Being in the family of God should have a large measure of compassion and consideration. But the family of God is not about whether you're married or divorced. The family of God is not about the color of your skin. The family of God is not about being single or not being single. The family of God isn't about being male or female. The family of God is not about whether you are slave or free, Jew or Greek, as the Apostle Paul stated. The family of God is about the will of God. Having said that, let's make sure we understand. Mothers are important. All mothers are important. Jesus was born to a mom. That was a part of God's will. It is important to support moms, and it is important to support all moms, and not just moms who have husbands. It is especially important to support believer moms and not only believer moms who have husbands. The church so often forgets that married or single makes no difference to Jesus or Paul. The church so often forgets that the Apostle Paul made it clear that one may stay married to an unbeliever or an unbeliever may divorce a believer, but the believer is to do the right thing with regard to marriage. Also, having said that, you and I are not clear on how marriage law worked in the ancient world. Just take a look at 1 Corinthians 7, verses 10 and 11, and discuss it. The important thing about Mother's Day is really, to Jesus, the important thing is the family of God. Now, the family of God is only mentioned in one place in the New Testament, 1 Peter 2:9. And it's rather loose translation of the term brotherhood, or we might say, so as to avoid misunderstanding, familyhood, the brotherhood of believers, or the family of God. And what is emphasized is the duty of the believers to all people, to respect them. But to the believers are called to love the believers. The believers are called to love the believers. Still, we cannot miss the basics of Jesus' statement about his own family. It might help if we look at Jesus' other statements with regard to a follower's family and Jesus. When Jesus called James and John to be disciples, they left their earthly father and their earthly father's business. One man states he will follow Jesus only after his father's death. Everyone remembers Jesus' famous response, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead." Ouch! It sounded so harsh. But Jesus said elsewhere that he would be like a sword cleaving and dividing families with regard to the kingdom of God. Jesus was saying that following him, following Jesus, might entail the literal leaving behind of family. This is the correct understanding, because Peter himself will say it, "Lord, we did leave everything behind to follow you." Jesus wants us to know that faith matters above all else. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God." That doesn't mean that everyone's going to be happy about it. How many families have had sorrow knowing that their loved ones called the mission field would take them miles and years away from their family? I was told by a mentoring pastor that for the pastor, the church becomes your family. You might miss family members' family gatherings for birthdays, anniversaries, and holidays, but you will have a church family to celebrate with. Jesus is saying there is a consolation in putting the kingdom first, that the other things you seek in life will be added back in. If your family has to lose you, another family will gain you. The family of God. If the kingdom calls you to separate from your family of origin, the family of God will certainly be added to you. I heard one person protest that you don't choose your family, but you can choose your church. Fair enough, but none of us chooses who's in the family of God. And Jesus warned us that weeds will grow among the wheat of the church, and that love will be a tough road even among the believers. And it remains that family is not of genetics, family is not of blood, and family is not of emotional bonds, but it remains that the family of God is about the will of God. Through the will of God, we are brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers. But I leave you with examples of the power of the family of God. I know of a young man whose mother died when he was a child, but a pastor came to the church where the adoptive family attended. The young man was in his teens when the new pastor showed up, and that pastor was the next role model and mentor to the young man. The young man grew to adulthood, career, and marriage, and after 25 years, that now middle-aged man remains married to his wife and remains a part of the family of God. Another example I have shared once already, the story of Victor Marx. Victor Marx is a man who now works with troubled youth. He speaks their language because Victor Marx is the survivor of an abusive childhood. Many people in our jails, in our prisons, in our court systems experienced abuse as children. That is a statistical fact. So those inmates are not prepared to hear or listen to a typical Mother's Day sermon. Victor Marx was abandoned by his birth father and abused and neglected by his mother and stepfathers. You may remember this part of Victor Marx's story. It's the part I always remember. The high school Victor Marx didn't graduate from was his 14th school. However, Victor Marx was so much trouble in his high school that although he didn't have enough credits to graduate, the principal gave Victor a graduation certificate on the condition that Victor never come back to that school. Fortunately for Victor Marx, Jesus was always in Victor's peripheral vision. How did Jesus get in Victor Marx's peripheral vision? The church. Through the church, the family of God, there were some church services that Victor Marx remembered. There were speakers at those churches that Victor Marx remembered. There was a married couple in one of those churches that took Victor Marx under their wing. And when Victor Marx had Jesus find him in the Marines, there was a fellow Marine who was already a member of the family of God. So a little later in life, when the Lord spoke to Victor Marx, Victor knew it was the Lord. How? Because of Jesus' family, those who hear God's will and do it. Victor Marx responded to the Lord and has followed him ever since. What I appreciate most about Victor Marx is that even though the Lord touched his life dramatically, Victor Marx had to work through all the abuse he received. And Victor Marx had to do it the old-fashioned way. Therapy. Months of therapy. For a while, he went to therapy more than once a day. It wasn't that Victor didn't have enough faith. All the therapy was required for the amount of abuse Victor had received. He might have learned to cope with living, but he had to learn to love and live as Christ wanted him to. Victor Marx was restored to be the man Christ wanted him to be. And now, as a member himself of God's family, Victor Marx works with kids like himself, like he was as a child, kids who need God's family. You can read Victor Marx's story in his book, With God, All Things Are Possible, where he wrote, God is ready and eager to heal you and restore you. He can tenderly pick up the broken pieces of your life, bit by bit, and reshape them into beauty and into strength. This is God's desire for you, my friend. Don't be discouraged if your restoration looks hopeless. It took me a while to come to this place of healing, but I can say without a doubt, Jesus wants to do the same for you. Victor Marx takes up the gospel of the family of God in order to bring others into the family of God. Even those people we may not think would be a good fit for the family of God, because Victor Marx was not a good fit for the family of God for a long time. Victor Marx never fit into a public school, ever. But the family of God was there for Victor Marx. How does our Lord do that? Because Jesus makes us do good things. Because with God all things are possible. A blessed Mother's Day to you in the family of God. Amen.